Is your business stuck in one spot, struggling to grow? Our 8-week ProFit Business Accelerator at winninggym.com/grow has your back. Sign up now for easy wins. No more struggle, just straight growth. You've got this. Now let's head on back to the show.
You are listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right, welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, joined in studio for a special episode number 600 of the Built to Grow show. Randy Engston, what's up, buddy?
How we doing?
You're in, man.
Not only, yeah, I mean, we hit 600 on the last day of 2024.
Yep.
We're in the podcast studio filming for you guys. What a day to celebrate.
It's a day to celebrate, so I shall have this coffee with whiskey in it.
Yeah. Get the day started right.
That's nice. That's nice. We got a great show for you guys today. We've been kind of jamming over the last, I don't know, we've been talking about this for about a month, kind of going into the hopper, saying like, what do we feel like is going to happen next year? We're both in agreement on these, which is interesting. Sometimes, you know, like we'll say something about, I don't really think that, but everything we're going to talk about in the show today is pretty, I feel pretty confident. I mean, we could always circle back at the end of 2025 and see how we did, but as we list these off and start speaking about each one of these predictions, I want you guys to think about how to capitalize for your business on what we feel is going to happen. Now, do we know for certain? No.
No.
It's a prediction show. But there's reasons why each one of these things we feel pretty strongly about. And how can your business take one of these or all of them and capitalize it for the best use in 2025?
Yeah, and I think that's a great way of looking at a lot of the things that we discuss, right? You as the listener, you as the business owner, anything that we bring to the table, you have the choice of, do I want to skate to that puck? Do I believe that's the direction that things are going? Or do I not, right? And so right now, it's a great time for us, as we go through these, right? You listening, if you agree with it, much like Tim said, you know, how are you going to make that impact your business as the year, you know, progresses and as these things start to come to fruition?
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, let's jump right into it, guys. Number one, with the big boom of GLP-1 drugs happening over the last several years now, the repercussions are starting to show face.
Yep.
One of those repercussions is muscle loss, which we as fitness professionals realize and know how to fix. And I feel like there's going to be a definite shift back towards gaining muscle again. Strength is what you said.
Yep.
The focus on strength. Now, I love this because this is what we've always done. As health and fitness professionals, we've always been focused on strength and conditioning. But for years prior, it was a lot about metabolic conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Fat loss, fat loss, fat loss. And while fat loss is absolutely a desired goal for many, without muscle mass, fat loss becomes even more difficult.
And at some point, it's not the answer you're looking for. There's a tipping point, right? I think this year, along the lines of that, I think strength and skeletal muscle mass finally is getting the attention that it deserves, right? There's so much conversation around it being such a important component for disease prevention, longevity, all of the things that everybody wants that you can't get anywhere else. Right. Without, you know, resistance training and building strength.
And the thing about this is everybody in listening shows, of course, but what we're saying is the market's shifting.
Correct.
The market, the sentiment in the market is shifting towards, I need to be stronger. I need muscle mass. Muscle mass is a, disease prevention mechanism.
Yeah.
It's a health factor. It's all the things that I want. Oh my gosh, I need to go find a personal trainer to help me build muscle mass.
And it, exactly along those lines, right? It's not that, oh, it's not I want to go look ripped and shredded and walk across the stage as a bodybuilder. It's the understanding of what muscle mass and the strength component does for everybody. And that's exactly the shift that I've seen that you're speaking to.
Yeah.
And you guys listening, I mean, look at big box gyms and just how the trend, you know, you walk in there and the cardio bunnies of last year and the year before are now in the weight room.
Doing deadlifts.
Exactly, right? And so, yes, I mean, obviously in our gyms, if we're training clients, we've probably always had that sentiment. But when you see those that are walking in the gym on their own, all starting to cater to this as well, the pendulum swung.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
It's a good, damn good thing. So,
oh yeah.
So how do you capitalize it? I'm going to let you decide on your own. I mean, I know what we're doing, but easily saying things like, you know, strength training in your ads, stuff like that in the marketing, communication, that's going to be step one,
mm-hmm.
website, et cetera. But making sure your clients understand what you're doing in the gym is to build muscle mass. And, you know, again, you could run real hard and talk about, you know, what's going through the client's minds right now. Women especially is like, will I get bulky
yep.
if I start lifting? That's still front and center.
Still like, fear.
They think you pick up a weight and you look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. it's just funny to us.
It is, yeah.
But that's honest truth. That's what they think.
Yep.
And so going against that would be a good idea. So focus is shifting back towards strength training, muscle mass. And again, it's always been there, but it's the market sentiment. And I'll give you guys a great example. Like you see all these celebrities that took all the Ozempics and stuff mm-hmm. and their ass fell off and yeah. everybody's like, what happened to that person?
Yeah.
Well, they went down this road to lose weight, but they lost muscle and they look worse. So now they're coming back to building muscle mass again, which is what we're talking about.
And that's
about.
Part of the conversation, right? The people that are using those drugs don't understand the effects of how it's doing what it's doing, right? It's non-discriminatory. It doesn't give a damn whether it's taking muscle away from you or fat. You're losing weight.
Yeah.
And there is no ability for that drug to keep the muscle and put the muscle back on you. You need the resistance training. You need the strength training. And we are the solution to that problem.
Correct.
And the marketplace is starting to see that.
Cool. All right. That's prediction number one. Focus back to strength training. So focus number two or a prediction number two is anti-pharma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm so glad to see this, guys. I haven't gone to a regular doctor in probably 15 years. I go to a naturopathic doctor. Again, it's funny that everything's kind of coming back to where we are, which is great. I know many of you are anti-Western medicine. You go more the naturopathic route, holistic, acupuncture, herbs, aromatherapies, oils, all the stuff like that. I know that's kind of in our ethos of our, you know, of what we are as health and fitness professionals. But with the vaccine debacle
yeah.
of the last 4 years now in the mortality rate of people who were forced to take
pretty much
the vaccine, the numbers don't lie, guys. I know this is very controversial. That's fine. The hardcore pushing of vaccines down Americans' throats is 150% a money grab, not a health, like for your health.
It's yeah, not it's for not your a health. Solution to the health problem.
I have, you know what? I'm going to look this up while you chat, but I have a infographic of the required vaccines by the FDA
yeah.
or CDC from years ago to today.
I have that. I screenshot that same one, I bet.
I have it.
24 hours ago.
But here's the kicker, guys. So people are not trusting doctors anymore. Dr. Fauci ruined it for all the rest of the doctors, just so you know. And they're looking for their own solutions. They're not just taking your word for it because you're the doctor.
Yeah.
I think, and again, I've been a skeptical from years ago. I mean, you could think about what you want about me. Like my daughter, we didn't do the vaccine play. Same. We ran with the same with you.
Yep.
Okay. So like, you're allowed to make decisions for yourself. I don't trust any doctors. I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm sorry, guys. I mean, it's just to feel like they're treating the symptom and not the core root cause of the problem. Now, viruses and stuff, like, there's natural ways to get rid of stuff like that. But, like, yeah, if I break my arm, I've got to see a doctor. I've got to trust that you're going to do a good job, right? Like, of course.
Yeah.
Car accidents, stuff like that, like catastrophic stuff. But, like, for your regular daily health and fitness stuff or health, I'm just not looking at big pharma as the solution.
Well, and I mean, I think you hit it even, you know, one, we know that the pharma side of things is designed to address a symptom and make you comfortable. To me, I mean, that's transparent as hell, right there, that tells me that they're looking to make you a consumer for a long haul, not fix a problem. For me, it really opened up my eyes when I found out that in order to get a full doctorate, it required like 13 credit hours in nutrition. If a doctor cannot tell me what caloric target somebody should be eating for themselves, if they can't tell you what a macronutrient breakdown should be, they should not be prescribing you a drug that has, you know, more side effects than it does addresses any of the symptoms that you're expressing, right? So that right there tells me, you know, what is the purpose and the intention behind what's being said, done, sold to everyday Americans? And to your point, it's not that, you know, I'm not trying to say, or we're not trying to say, you know, take away that right whatsoever, but all of us should have the option of, in coming out of COVID, we didn't have, many didn't have that option. You know what I mean? And so now I think the, like you said, the kind of the sediment of the marketplace, just everyday Americans and beyond, is that health is our responsibility. And we can't just trust that the doctor has our best intention as if, you know, it was the 40s, 50s, and
60s, and 80s. Yeah. So we just can't do so. Trust the science is the name of this meme. It's like, I had a big argument with my dad one day. It was like when my daughter was like in her like 1 or 2 years old, and he's like, get your daughter vaccinated. Get your daughter vaccinated. I go, Dad, listen, it's not the same, man. It's not the same. I pulled up something similar to this, and this changed his mind. Okay, so in 1962, when he was having vaccines, there was 5 required by the CDC. 5 doses total. Okay, start to finish. 1983, about when I was getting mine, right? 24 doses. In 1986, a law was passed, I think by Reagan, that pharmaceutical companies will have no liability for injury against vaccine injury. Okay? So they get immunity. To any repercussions against the health of the human taking their drug. And on top of that, there's a separate vaccine injury fund funded by government taxpayers to compensate injuries from vaccines. So it's not only that are they off the hook, the taxpayers also pick up the tab for any injuries. 2016, my daughter's vaccines, 72 doses. Now you go from 5 to 72. 2024, 108 doses, an increase of 30% more doses in 2024.
From 16.
And a 2,000% increase from the 60s. Like if you, I don't even know how to do the math, from 5 to 108. Now, here's where you know you're right, consumer. You have a child in hospital today. The first thing they do is try to shove a hepatitis vaccine. They got the needle out, ready to stab your kid. Hepatitis was sexually transmitted. They're 1 day, hour old. What are you doing?
Yep.
What are you doing? Think for yourselves, you know, gym owners. I know we're kind of going on a tangent here, but like anti-pharma, the sentiment that we're speaking of, that's what's out there in the community. Of course, there's both sides. Like you're gonna, just for everybody that says strength training is the way, there's going to be no cardio and fat loss is the way. Okay, so this is our predictions. This is our thoughts. Anti-pharma. Anti-big pharma. Holistic solutions, health, wellness, nutrition, strength training. That's our prediction.
Yep.
Check mark on that.
Imagine a place where growth is the only option and where challenges become opportunities. Welcome to the Iron Circle. the epitome of business acceleration, personal growth, and professional camaraderie. Across the country, from every corner of the fitness industry, business owners just like you have found their tribe.
And when you really think about putting these 30 heads together, it was probably 200-300 years of gym owner experience.
Here, we dream big and execute bigger. Our members speak of breakthroughs, of transformations, of stepping out of their comfort zones to redefine success.
We just had our highest month ever since almost 7 years in business. We're close to $46,000.
We've turned isolation into community, uncertainty into solid action plans, and struggles into growth.
We can attract those prospects, convert them to clients, have them raving about the experience of your services, even referring other clients, all while you're sleeping.
And for you to get the support and the knowledge and the experience to just accelerate up and beyond that, that's the ultimate hack.
Because together, we are more than gym owners. We are visionaries. We are pioneers. We are the Iron Circle.
Visit ironcircle.net to apply.
All right, prediction number three, and this is all contingent.
Mm-hmm.
On Robert F. Kennedy, is RFK Jr., right?
Yeah.
RFK Jr., who is the nephew of John F. Kennedy, the son of Robert Kennedy, who's his brother. So he is he has been nominated as the Secretary of Health and Human Services for the United States of America, the cabinet under President Donald Trump. And if you watch him, you know, he's anti-vaccine, by the way. He's anti-some vaccine.
Sure.
He does believe in polio vaccine, stuff like that. But he's anti-seed oils.
Mm-hmm.
He's pro-animal fats.
Fats, yep.
Pro-protein, anti-vegan, like all this stuff like that, right? So, you know, you look at the guy, he's deep in his 60s, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe 70, maybe Nick, if you want to look that up. The guy's shredded, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's ripping off bench presses and push-ups and pull-ups and, you know, 70?
70?
Yeah, 70 years old. Okay, 70. I hope that we're all that great shape at 70. Now, he's on Thanksgiving. He's frying his turkey in beef tallow.
Tallow, yep.
That was a big, you know, thing on Instagram or whatever. But he's all about holistic health, natural foods, non-processed. He's wanting to get rid of all the, you know, like other countries have already done this.
Mm-hmm.
There's two different types of cereals on the shelves, yep. American cereal and like the European cereal. And the Europeans won't allow Kellogg's to put specific things like red
number 40. Dye 40, yeah.
They won't allow that to be in the ingredients, but yet in America, it's okay. Why would that be the case? Let's think about this. Okay, we're getting into conspiracy theory, but why would it be allowed in America to have these proven disease-causing ingredients to be in the foods that are on our shelves, but yet not in the other countries?
I'm so logically rooted, right? Well, so, like, I look at situations like that, right? Yeah. It's we're going to create the problem, and we're going to also offer the solution.
Through Big Pharma.
Yep.
So Big Pharma pays politicians to allow people to be sick in these ways, right? Through a roundabout way so that they can also provide the solution for them.
Here's the statistics around it. 85% of the revenue for the FDA is provided by the companies that they govern over.
That's real.
If you and I, or you, any of you guys listening and did that in business, we would be slapped.
Yeah.
Because that's
bribery.
Yeah, 100, absolutely, right? But the people who are telling us what is healthy and what is okay and acceptable in our food, in our nutrition,
yep,
are the ones selling the drug to adhere to address the symptoms that stuff is creating.
Of course. Of course.
But every other situation, again, this is all legal, happening in front of us. At the end of the day, to me, it's a pure money grab. They're creating consumers for the long run. Yep. So,
follow the money, you'll find the solution.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it comes down to.
Along with that, though, the thing that part of what my prediction is with him coming in, and again, it's not just him, it's not just his beliefs, but it's the ideas that come with it, right? Even if it just exposing and opening up the lens, shining a light on, right now, so much of our government money is being given to the research, the pharma companies, like pushing those, the situation as it is today. As we start to figure out and decide, hey, maybe we shouldn't have, like he's even talking about taking drug commercials off of television, yeah. Right?
Well, on that point right there, we had that, the gal came in from Australia and she was mind blown, yeah. Sitting in her hotel room, seeing all the commercials for pharmaceuticals across the screen. She goes, that doesn't happen in Australia.
Probably the rest of the world.
Right.
Right. So, but with that, so if let's just say, he does shine this big light on the pharmaceutical industry, how things have been done. Now we have the option of like all of the government funding that's gone that direction that is, in my opinion, will start to be stripped from some of this as it becomes exposed and becomes mm-hmm. purely the money situation. Those government funds are now going to be, you know, probably allocated somewhere else. And I truly think that this year, with the focus on health and fitness, both from a nutrition side as well as the movement side and, you know, training and so forth, I think that we might see some of that shift focus our way.
Let's hope.
In more of a, you know, wouldn't it be nice if our clients' gym memberships could be subsidized by their healthcare, by the government?
Should be.
Right. You would think, but again, if you had the control over who's getting paid.
Why is naturopathic medicine and doctors yep. not covered by healthcare?
Exactly.
Because it comes from big pharma.
Yep. Because they're the ones cutting the check.
Right. We need that money coming back to us, right? So, guys, I don't know. We're probably turning a lot of people off, but this is our thoughts. This might be, wait a minute, I didn't think about it yeah. that way. And it's really, like, it's an open discussion. That's what I believe. What we're talking about is exactly how I think. Like, so, yep. like it or hate it, it's just what I think. But how does that affect the fitness industry? I think it affects it positively. The sentiment's changing. People are realizing, oh my God, I've been sold a bill of goods. That's BS. And I need to go this way. So hoping that, and yes, hopefully the funding goes to provide gym membership, personal training memberships for the Americans, for yeah. consumers. Guys, I'm sorry if you're listening overseas, like this is also happening in your countries as well. But we're just talking about it here. All right, so let's move on. All right, let's get into a little bit of the nitty gritty in regards to the model, the footprint, the smaller size footprint gyms. So like, just kind of recap. Number one prediction, focus on strength training. Number two prediction, anti-pharma. Number three prediction, with the RFK effect.
Yep.
Number four prediction, gyms are moving away from giant footprints into smaller boutique style footprints, even smaller than 3,000 feet. We're talking 1,500 feet. And a lot of it is coming from the Alloy model, who's our friend Rick Mayo, that I believe is making huge waves in the industry. He's already over 300 locations in a couple short years. He was telling us the statistics about, you know, how many franchises get past like 25 or 30.
Yeah.
It's fractional. He's well into the 300s. There's some in our town here. Here's what I would say for anybody who's got a franchise, Alloy or even Anytime or anything. None of those businesses matter except for the operators inside them.
Sure.
You can have a great, you could have McDonald's if you want. I mean, as much as we're talking against that, but you have McDonald's, who's got the biggest brand in the world, arguably a fast food. You could have a bunch of morons running that and they go out of business. Sure. It doesn't matter. Like, so just because an Anytime or a franchise or an Alloy that's doing kind of the same things that you're doing is in your market, that doesn't affect you whatsoever if they've got a crap operator in there. And from what I know about Alloys and everything else, these guys aren't fitness guys. There are a lot of them are venture capitalists and investors that just throw people in there. The gym business is difficult. And I wouldn't be, here's a prediction for you. I would predict you're going to see some Alloys closing.
Sure.
Sorry, Rick. You know, I love you, brother. But at the same time, if you got a crap operator, you're going to see some of those closing.
Yeah.
Just like any other business, okay? So just like CrossFit's close, other businesses close, They're opening. They're also going to be some closing because they're going to come to the realization that fitness industry, it ain't easy, man.
Yeah.
This is not, it's probably the most difficult business out there as a service business because we're selling something people don't really want. They don't want to do the hard work. They want the health and fitness side of it. Of course, you'll have lifers. We've got them. Everybody's got them. But you're going to have many more people come and go before you get those lifestyle clients.
Yeah.
Okay. So the smaller footprint, I also believe a hard push away from large group training even further. Mm-hmm. Like we said that last year, and you could see it happening.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with the focus on strength training, whereas the large group training models, a lot of it's just, I mean, they throw strength in there, but it's metabolic. It's fat loss, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's the sheer focus. And yeah, to your point, I mean, I think even if you look at trends in business, Alloy being one of them, what are the franchises that are opening? This year, last few years, strength training focused franchises or businesses have taken the kind of limelight over, you know, the Orange Theories, the F45, the metabolic franchises, right? We've already started seeing it in the business, but that's a byproduct of the sentiment in the marketplace also, right? Rick wouldn't be able to put those in every town if people weren't buying the product that he had to sell. And so his success is a indication of where the marketplace is going. If you know what I mean? Like people have already caught on that this is what they want to buy. And that's why we've seen the change from metabolic type focus growing to these smaller footprint strength training style facilities.
And that's a good thing, guys. If you're, think about it. Years ago, it was almost the opposite. Bigger was better. Like, yeah. In fact, when we opened this place, it was like, let's get a bigger place, right? Even after this one, because that was kind of like what it felt like. But at the end of the day, it's the numbers and cents don't lie.
Yeah.
Dollars and cents. So having a small footprint equals a small overhead, smaller operation, easy to manage. That's a thumbs up in my book. Like that's a great model.
Yeah.
Right. So I can see in some of the guys we coach with, are opening smaller footprints even now, as their model, even smaller from say a 3,500 down to like a 25 or a 2,000 square foot, you know, like a single, bay in a retail center, and doing, you know, 30, 40 grand. Boom, just like that. And, you know, I don't know if the hard cost of base operating expenses is like 15, 20, 25,000. They're doing 40. Cool. That's a great, cool little business.
Yeah, great margins, great, easy. And then part of that is, too, you don't have 1,500 bodies to try and keep and manage and, you know, keep coming back either. Mm-hmm. So from a, yeah, business management side of things, much easier to run and you know, keep your thumb on the pulse type of thing. From a margin standpoint, probably, you know, a much leaner, easier to keep the margins where you want them. And then the focus of what's being presented as a deliverable, right? The strength training component, that's a perfect storm for everything that we see coming.
Yep.
Hey guys, as you know, at Built to Grow, we're all about systems and scalability. And that's why I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, Semi-Private Pro. Several years ago, I was in our gym looking around and I noticed our coaches were staring at their clipboards, struggling to stay one step ahead of the clients. And I thought, gosh, there has to be a better way. So I tasked Zach, our fitness director, and I said, dude, we got to find a software that would enhance our clients' training experience and increase our coaches' levels of engagement. See, we're all about client experience here. After countless demos, we realized there was literally nothing designed for our training model. So we set out on a mission and I said, look, we got to create an app that is designed specifically for semi-private training. And I can tell you guys this firsthand, this is taking our training to new heights and I'm confident it can do the same thing for you. See, with Semi-Private Pro, you can streamline your training system, enhance client engagement and scale like never before without spending hours on programming. To learn more about how you can get started with Semi-Private Pro, head on over to special link here, semiprivatepro.com/BTG, that's Built to Grow. So just head on over real quick to semiprivatepro.com/BTG to check out a demo for yourself.
All right, moving on. So prediction four was like moving towards a smaller footprint. Prediction five is a mass shift away from meta. as advertising. We said this for 7 years now, that you can't be all eggs in the same basket, yep. right? Right. Meta is going to disappear one day. Now, it's not necessarily disappearing. It's just becoming unprofitable for you to even run a lot of ads on there. I mean, we still run ads. I think it's still one of the things that everybody's going to still kind of do, but its reach is gone on an organic level. It's a pay to play thing. People are almost immune to ads now because it's just, if you scroll, it's like every third freaking post. So the attention's kind of going away. What our prediction is, a focus back towards definitely Google SEO, your kind of keyword search, AdWords campaigns, but also direct mail is coming back in a big way. No, we're doing it. I'm seeing other gyms do it in my own mailbox. I get them. I'm like, oh great, here's another another paper cut, right? Or another gym down the street. But we're running it. We've got a partnership with Dope Marketing. They've got a great platform where you can just click and drag and drop mails, bombs on different neighborhoods and stuff. But text message marketing is still definitely going to be there. And then the advent of AI technology into the SMS side, where you've got bot agents going in and having full-blown conversations in SMS and not just on a web bot or a web, chat thing or a Facebook messenger. It's actually an SMS, which is cool. But prediction on that is that's going to get a slap here real soon, because you've got the A2P and all the carrier
governing agencies telling us,
over the top.
Yeah. Well, here's another perfect example of places where, the consumer versus the government gets the short end of the stick. We just got through the election cycle. All of us got thousands of text messages from people who we didn't opt in, who we didn't ask for their marketing for, the push, but they get the pass, while the consumer and the small business guy has to jump through hoops in order to talk to the person who asked to be talked to. Right. But yes, to your point, they're going to continue to make that harder and harder. Mm-hmm. And like everything else, right. There will be something else that comes along that becomes kind of the new place, the new way, the new medium to have the conversations and so forth. I think along with tech is the shift away from tech being the solution in place of a trainer or a traditional personal training membership, if you may, or gym membership, right?
Right.
Couple years ago on one of our prediction shows, we talked about the Tonals. We talked about the Mirror. We talked about Peloton. I mean, look at what happened with Peloton alone. I mean, they exploded. And now for every Peloton I know that's being bought, I have five friends trying to sell one. You know what I mean? It's like, they're now just the coat rack in the bedroom. Yep. And the people are going back to the gym to get the workout because it doesn't come with, there's still the human element, right? Like, sure, maybe through COVID when people couldn't walk in their gyms.
Well, that's when they had their boom.
Yes, exactly, right? Where you couldn't walk into a gym and you couldn't see the trainer, you couldn't be face-to-face with somebody, you could still have some of that interaction through the screen. Well, that also forced us all, like, we all went the opposite coming out of that. We're like, I want to see a face. Like, we're designed as humans to to communicate face-to-face. And I think that's only now we're swinging back hard. I think people they've realized like that isn't a one-to-one direct apples to apples replacement for a gym membership and a trainer. And I think that's going to continue to be the thing where people are going to walk back into gyms. I mean, I think they're going to be running back into gyms this year for the first time in many years.
I agree. And by the way, it wasn't all just the human-to-human interaction. It was being locked into their house.
Sure.
And then trying to work out at your house with the kid, pulling at your, and the phone ringing and everything else. Like, getting out of the house was a big, like you're saying, running out of the gym or running into the gyms now. I love this for gyms. I think this is maybe a breakout year for many gyms. In fact, the whole industry.
I think so too.
If we're being honest, I think it's going to be the whole industry is going to see that the tide rise, right? Yes. All the ships are going to get a little bit better this year. I've got some other predictions kind of like in subtext here of like for tech at least, because if we're going to get into tech a little bit more, I finally think that the conversational AI, voice AI, is going to actually break through this year. We went hard on it. It was too early.
Yep.
We were big investors in one of the companies that was kind of first to market, and pulled out of that deal a couple months in after the technology just didn't show up for us. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that you can have an outbound call from an AI agent, a chat voice agent, that you can have a full-blown, you can train them to be a sales agent for your business, and they can have thousands of simultaneous phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of simultaneous phone calls, not have a phone call, have a conversation, hang up, dial another one, have a conversation. I'm saying you could have 10,000 simultaneous conversations going on. It's insane, the potential. But there was a lot of issues with the pauses and the repeating gaps. And just you just didn't sound like a human being. Now it's like really freaking close. And how cool would that be to have somebody making thousands of calls for your business to, you know, close deals? We did this, what year? It was a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
So like, again, probably we were a little too early, but we actually deployed, it was called AIR AI. We deployed it and we actually booked an appointment with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed up and they closed the deal. Now it was hundreds of calls to get one, but it wasn't like a human being doing it. It was AI.
Yeah. I mean, in the technology of that, I mean, our business is obviously within your business. You don't have a call center, you know, driving leads into your gym.
Right.
Right. You don't have the ability to have 50 employees calling on the leads that you've generated over the last, you know, how many years. This tech gives you the ability to have one software that replaces literally a call center.
Yeah.
You know, working for you. That is, from any business standpoint, like that has huge potential and can be a massive win. But to your point also, the tech hadn't been there yet, right? Like it's close, right? Yeah. But I agree. I can see that just with the rate of advancement, I can see 2025 being the year where it's scary to say, but call centers could be a thing in the past.
Yeah. Totally could. You know? So it totally could. Now I feel like the government's going to jump in there somewhere and say, you can't do this anymore.
Of course.
And all those companies are going to be kind of shit out of luck. But inbound calls, you can take inbound calls through AI agents. So never miss a phone call, never have never miss an opportunity for a sale. You know, I challenge you guys to kind of go to your market and opt in on like five different competitors' websites and see who actually calls you. It's going to be zero. It's going to be zero. It's going to be zero. Nobody's calling anybody. And probably if you opted into five, four will send you an email, one won't. Four will send you an email, two will send you a text, and zero to one will give you a call. So if you can fix that side of that in your business, you're gonna beat your competition. It's just the way it is.
I got one little kind of tangent or subline off of that too with the tech. I think this year is gonna be the big resurgence of customer service too. Because I think that everybody relied on so much tech over the last few years, you know, especially the customer service side, right? Major corporations downsized all of that and moved it to tech, like digital, whether it be AI calls, like chatbots, things like that. But we watched the quality of customer care. Yeah. Consumers hate the direction that things have gone because it's a nightmare working with some of those agencies. You know, those bots and things like that, just to get the simple things done. I truly think the human element is still going to be the win. Those things will be the ones that, like, the companies that can draw the line and get and use tech to bring you closer to that human element, right? I don't think we're going to replace the sales consultation with a chatbot in 2025. Could it happen in years? Sure, but I think people have to, like, that kind of has to become a thing in the marketplace for people to really adopt to.
Yeah, like a QR code.
Yeah, right. Well, but there's blessings and curses in all of it, right? Like, think about when we had to go, like, every restaurant had a QR code. Yep. Well, then when you had the ability to have a menu again and everyone's stuck with QR codes.
I'm kind of pissed.
Everybody hates it, right? Like, why? I'm sitting in front of you. Give me a damn menu. I don't want to have to go online to order my meal when you're the server who should be taking my order and bringing. So there is, again, with everything, right, there's pros and cons to it. But I think that in the same way we use automation, guiding somebody to that face-to-face, letting the tech handle the routine that guides somebody to the real deep, you know, intimate conversations of a consultation and so forth, that's where we're going to see the most wins. So don't expect it to replace, you know, all of the marketing and sales of your business, but where does it fit in there should be your thought. Yep. And again, this is one of those things, guys, some of this technology, I mean, even our automation, our CLA, I mean, Tim's used the CLA in our business since like 2010, right? That's not yesterday. That's not 2 years ago. That's a long time. That still is a driving force that to bring people into this business every single day.
I could attribute millions of dollars to that system.
Absolutely. Millions. And yet every single day, you know, I have conversations with gym owners that are interested in growing their business that have never considered something like that, that have never looked at that, that probably still aren't doing paid ads. At some point you have to say, where's the direction of this business? Where do I want to take this business? And what do I have available in order to get me there and start making some of these decisions? The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The next best time is right now. So if you're sitting on some of these things, if you're thinking about some of these things, you need to start making a decision, bring them into the business, test them for yourself and figure out how to make this stuff work, because you're going to be behind the eight ball if you're not proactively seeking these solutions.
Faux show. Okay. Well, listen, guys, that was a lot. But I mean, all of this kind of makes sense to me. This is there's reasons behind each one of these predictions that we're seeing. I hope they all come true. You know what I mean? I hope they do, because then we're all doing well.
Yeah.
Right? We're all doing well. We both agree this is probably going to be, I think this is set up as the best year of the recent past. You know, I guess with COVID, there wasn't much to look forward to until it was open again. And then even some gyms are still struggling today. I mean, guys, listen, before I get into the wrap up of this, I put this on my Facebook page. I probably ruffled feathers. If you're still using COVID as an excuse as to why your business is not where it wants to be, you're delusional. COVID's over.
I'll go one step further.
It's over.
Like, if you still have COVID mentioned on your website,
it's over.
You're in guys, the past. I've seen three in the last 2 weeks. Three websites where the leading a banner above everything else. The first thing on your website talks about COVID protocol. Is your business still open today? To the consumer, like what are you leading with to the consumer? That tells me that you haven't updated your website in years. How much do you care about my results?
Yeah. Get that off your websites, guys. Nobody cares about COVID anymore. Nobody does. And if they do, like, they're not coming.
They're probably not coming to your gym anyways.
So don't worry about it, right? All right. So listen, guys, hopefully this kind of gets your head wrapped around some of the thoughts that we have. I mean, listen, you probably have your own thoughts as well. These are always fun to kind of throw some ideas around, kind of get the wheels turning as the year ends and kind of stepping into the brand new 2025. And guys, we look forward to helping you, as many of you as possible. We've got, you know, Iron Circle, we've got coaching programs, we've got our CLA. Those are three things that we can help you with right away. If you want to book a call, jump in the show notes and book a call. We'd love to chat with you guys. Hopefully this gets your wheels turning and that helps you. Maybe hopefully capitalize on some of these trends that we feel like are going to be in 2025. That's it for this show, guys. Until next time, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next episode. Bye. All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, Profit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link and keep building something great. And we'll see you in the next episode.